Hello, everyone.
I'm correct in that we're going over tickets today, right?
Yes, fewer
Good.
people every time we do this.
It's okay. I just wanted to make sure that like I'm not expected to do anything for free finds. I was like
Oh.
99% sure that we're going back and forth every other week, but the paranoia kicks in every once in a while. It's like, wait, was I supposed to do something?
No, that's next week.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
You have a new profile picture,
Oh yeah, I went
don't
through and
you?
changed all my I changed all my profile pictures around. I get bored. So every once in a while I get stuck in a meeting where like I shouldn't say this. I really don't want to pay attention. So I'll do random things to keep my brain going, and I'll go through and change my profile picture, which is actually fairly complicated considering how many systems I'm in. I think I still have to update it in Jira. I don't think Jira and the Artisan platform has my new profile picture. So
Look good.
hello.
It's
Yeah, I like
easy.
that profile picture, Tom. That's nice. How's Thanks.
everyone doing? And there he is in real life. I'm gonna try not to close the whole meeting today. Cornelia, while you're gone, I was like, I gotta run 5 minutes early, and I ran and I closed the entire meeting. Everyone, I was like, it was one of those like slow-mos, like as I was clicking, I was like, no, not that.
It's okay. I was just
That
about ready to
happens.
tell them. Yeah. I was about ready to tell some anecdote about something around fee fines that happened here, and I can't even remember what it was now. So
Was very embarrassing. I was
it's
like,
fine.
oh my God. Anyway. Oh, well, welcome everyone. We are small group today. We are kind of at this pivot point with this process, so I'm glad we have some power users here to help advise kind of next steps in this process. So first of all, I want to say that we made a decision to push our welcome and introduction session, which we were going to have next Monday, ahead, back a week. So we will do it on November 10th. Twofold reason. One is to give a little more time to promote it, which I dropped the ball on last week with Cornelia out, not to hold me accountable. I didn't do a lot of advertising. And the whole point of this is to get the word out to folks who haven't been attending recently. So, we will make an effort to get the word out. And if folks, if anybody has any ideas about how best to identify, I guess that we want to reach out to libraries who are not new adopters, but more recent adopters and implementers than all of us that have feel like we've been here forever. And I'm one way I could do it is to reach out to vendors. So I think can certainly get lists potentially from EBSCO and Index Data, and the other one that the name is escaping me.
GBR? Oh no, Bywater.
Bywater, thank you. Yeah. And then but then I'm not sure about getting like all the self-hosted ones. It's a little bit trickier. And it's not going to be a comprehensive list because I have, a day and a half to do it. So it really is if folks know of places where they've seen lists, we Cornelia pointed me to an outdated one that isn't maintained anymore on the wiki, but I'm not sure if there's anything more that's been compiled that's a little bit easier to get to. I mean, there's lots of kind of manual ways I can imagine generating a list, but and it's already going to be relatively manual because my idea was to just reach out to kind of access services folks. I could also just reach out through access services circulation listservs, which I may also do, and have folks come in that way. But and that would get people who are not already implemented, but like curious. But if anyone has any ideas, let me know. And then next week, so then instead, the other reason we shifted it is because Magnus had a couple of ideas he wanted to talk to us about related to title level requesting and how it behaves with Tom doesn't want to talk about TLR. How it behaves with paging and recalls, that dynamic. So he will be at our next meeting to talk about that. Cornelia, do you have anything else? Okay. All right then. Well, we only have, if you believe it, a couple more tickets to look at in this Volaris ticket review, which is very exciting. So let me open our ticket list. And Cornelia is going to update the last few items that we have on this list. And what did I say we needed to end with? 5049. All right, so I'm going to find our 5049. And there's a bunch that we can skip. So, Cornelia, I'm going to ask you to help me get to the ones that we need to actually look at because there are several that I marked on the spreadsheet as like
Yes, I
not
saw that you.
ours.
Yes, I saw that you worked on the spreadsheet. It's 5049, yeah.
I
The
think
next one that ha
so.
doesn't have any comment yet.
Right. And there's, I think there's only two or three that we have left to do because all of the other
Yes.
ones for folks that on this list, and let me just remind folks that this list is just a list of all Volaris t features that are not closed. Like it's a very broad list. So a lot of it overlaps with RA stuff, but there were a whole clutch of remote storage ones. There were a handful of ones that were user management. And then there's some other stuff that's sort of back-end functionality stuff that may not even be related to RA. But there were a few more that had categories or labels that looked like they might be ours. So this is one of them. Facilitate integration of custom fields in other apps. So this is sort of RA adjacent. I think that user. I don't think Amelia's here, but I think that user management, the custom fields maybe have been the first, users may have been the first one to use these. So I'm not sure exactly. If, well, this is. Custom, this is talking about custom fields and orders. So maybe this one is more, even still not ours. When I read custom fields, I automatically went to users, but it looks like this might not even be ours at all. It might not even be adjacent to ours.
If it's in orders, could it be about the price?
Well, it's just, I thought it was about,
Item
custom
price?
fields from users, but it looks like this is custom fields in orders. So I think this one is not ours. What's the next one, Cornelia, on the list? Is it, oh, is it 5055?
Yes.
Okay. So this one is sort of users and adjacent to us, check to see if a user account has an open re any open requests as a proxy before account deletion. I think you figured this out, Tom, that this breaks something if you if they have an active open request as a proxy, even if they're not the primary, it breaks something. Do you
Yeah,
recall doing this one?
I remember running it up. I'm not even sure if I'm the one that found it. I think it was something that came up in RA. And if I remember correctly, it's something with the UI that messes up the UI. This one actually might be getting a little bit better just because of some of the stuff that had to be happen with LC and that. So this might not actually need to be fixed. It might have been fixed kind of in conjunction with other stuff. But yeah, I think it's still. Like either the check needs to be performed or the deleted account needs to be handled in the request app.
So I think this one needs some investigation. So maybe pop further refinement on this one. It's also user management, so I think we could look at it, but they also it is really at the intersection because it's about it's got proxy and requests action as well. Can you tell me what the next one is, Cornelia, so I go to the right
Just
one?
yeah, just following to that's it.
Okay. Displaying retrieval service points for all member tenant requests in the central tenant. So this is consortial. It's requests. We didn't have any, we haven't looked at this one at all. So is anyone on the call using consortial settings? Okay.
I don't use,
We
I'm at University of Missouri's a member of Mobius.
Right.
We're not on the ECS tenant with everyone else. We have our own. So, but I can tell this is, yeah, a Mobius, the OpenRS DCB type request.
Okay. What is it?
Okay.
Can you tell me what DCB stands for, Katie? Or do you
Oh,
know?
no.
You don't know. I didn't know if it was a Mobius specific.
Direct
No.
consortial
A
something,
direct
I think.
consortial borrowing,
Borrowing.
maybe. Yeah, that
Borrowing,
must be
yes.
it.
There,
Okay.
that's it.
I don't know a lot of the lingo for the consortial stuff because we haven't used it.
I was gonna say DCB is pretty much is similar to like Reshare and all those other ones, but
Gotcha.
it more tied directly into with Folio. It's actually also being used by Library of Congress to some extent.
Okay. But it's a separate entity from Folio. It's not part of Folio.
It's a separate module that runs within the consortia environment.
Okay.
So it doesn't have a UI. So what ends up happening is what DCB does is when you place a request, the request gets proxied to DCB, and then DCB then proxies, keeps track of those requests, and then proxies it to the other tenants within Folio, within that consortia. It also handles like the searching and that sort of thing. And then when a request is fulfilled, it goes back to DCB, and DCB kind of helps facilitate the movement from one tenant to the other tenant.
Gotcha. So it's like middleware between the different tenants. Gotcha.
100%. Yes.
That makes sense.
So this ticket is also marked LOC, so we just
Can
should
we just
just
skip it?
leave it, yes.
Okay.
And
All right.
then there is one on the spreadsheet that isn't on the filter anymore. It's 5248.
52. All right. Well, where did it go? All That is not it. Do you actually put in the whole thing? Oh, here it is. How did it look at that 50 add? Oh no, that is it.
It's gone away from Valeris.
Oh, that's why. Okay. So let's see. Let's take it most generated. Oh, but it is staff slips.
Oh,
Oh, this is reading room circulation. Require an
yes.
additional token for the staff slips. Administrative
So,
note from the holding. Okay.
this will probably be done by the index data team, so we just should leave that as
Leave it
well.
alone. Okay.
Yeah.
It is a notice thing, though. That's interesting. All right. Okay, let's go back to. I left it in there because it was tagged as staff slips. All right. Are there any more, Cornelia, on this list?
No.
What? Unbelievable. All right. So, well, I suppose so. There's a whole bunch of these at the end that are serial and multi-part monographs. So those, I don't think we need to do anything with these because those are ones that are being. This is all related to requests, but Steph Buck is working on these, and they're all actively. She's actively working on them, so I don't think we need. She needs more input. What I don't know, what's the last number you have on that list, Cornelia? Because some of these might have been added since.
Yeah,
Arguably.
it's 55-40.
Okay, so 55, 49. These are just in, this is all kind of the same stuff. And then this inReach enhancements one is new. It was added by someone that I don't know. And it was just added 10 days ago. Okay. So this is related to inReach. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
don't.
think this is an umbrella that Tim made to throw under other tickets underneath it, just to keep track
Gotcha.
of stuff.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh yeah, that's all these other open tickets. Perfect.
Yeah, and usually that
Perfect.
color block in front of the name also
This.
indicate yes, also indicates that usually it's an epic.
Gotcha. Oh, that's helpful. Cool. All right. So that brings us to the end of the Volaris list. So for just refreshing people's memories, that we started this process of ticket review with the Vega list, which was Vega tickets 4 years old or older. And that list kept getting longer because we kept adding things to it. And then we moved to the Volaris list, which is this one that we're reviewing now. And that was everything. So this is everything that is was assigned to Volaris. And we've now completed that. There are some additional tickets that I dug around to try to find. And so there's a little bit more kind of work to be done to kind of scoop up tickets that might be out there in JIRA that we haven't looked at yet. And we could certainly look at a few of those. The next question, though, is then what, after we finish reviewing tickets, the next step as we, now we've been doing this almost a year. The next step was supposed to be circling back to prioritization before we start doing the work of fleshing out some of these tickets that we flagged for further refinement. We need to decide which ones we want to do first, basically. We've flagged lots of things for further refinement. And a lot of the times we said, but this isn't really a priority. So we need to make sure that we're sort of ranking those in some ways and putting the, at the very least, putting the things we want to work on first at the top. So,
Yeah, but we
yeah.
do have more Vega tickets to go through before
We
we started.
may have more Vega tickets to go through. If I change our filter to Vega, we can see if we have any that are the ones that are at the, they would be the more recent ones. It looks like there are 161 Vega tickets. Do you have the spreadsheet handy, Cornelia, for the ones? I'm trying to remember when we last looked at Vega. I have lots of agendas with the spreadsheet linked to it, but I have to find them. Okay, let's see. It looks like in Vega we reviewed up through 3104. Oh, there's more. Okay.
This, the old song from Shirley and Lamb Chop, "This is a song that doesn't end." These are the jeeras that never end.
These are the jiras that never end. It looks like there might be about 60 more, roughly, that we didn't look at.
Yeah, didn't Steph do a filter of Vega more than 2 years old, and it was too long, so we looked at the 4 years old first.
Maybe I think, well, so we did, she did the 4 years old, but now I just did a little, I basically just made the one that we were looking at. Let's see, I'll show you. I just changed the development team to Vega. So there's 161 tickets that are assigned to Vega, and this one here, 31, oh, well, 3104, I believe, is the last one we did, because you can see it has RA for
Okay.
the
Yeah.
refinement. And if you look at the date, it's June 3rd, 2021, which is about the time that we finished up our 5 year. Because you
Yeah.
remember they were being added as we were getting to the bottom of the list.
So we have only
So,
60 more? Is it seems
well,
seems too few.
that means that
Okay.
60 more are less than 4 years old.
Yes.
Or were created less than 4 years ago, I guess. So do we want to continue on with these? I don't have, can you, Cornelia, fudge the spreadsheet? So I'll give you the URL. There's the spreadsheet for the Vega one. Are you able to just pop? I can make a list after the meeting and spit these out with their details. But are you able to just
Okay.
put in the UX prods as we look at
Yes,
them?
I can do
Okay.
this.
Thank you.
I wasn't here last week, but didn't Anne had some suggestions
She did,
what
and
to look
I
at?
yes, she had some weirdos. Like, so I had an
Okay.
offline conversation with her, and she had re-looked at trying to think about how to generate a list for us to look at. And these were mostly things that were not UX prods. They were sort of, there were a lot of like UI, and I think most of them were UI things. And she wanted, or front end types of work. And she wanted to try to generate a list that would be worth us looking at. And when she tried to do it, she said it didn't work out like she thought. So
Okay.
she said that maybe we could start, this group could start refining some of these. And that's when I explained to her that's not what we're doing next. I said, what we're doing next is prioritizing to figure out what we should be refining.
Okay.
So she
So
didn't
what
have
she,
any further
yeah.
ones.
Okay, so what she showed last week was not suitable for us to refine.
It was, no, what she showed last week
Didn't.
was like, we don't know what a lot of this stuff is. It wasn't UX prod. It
Okay.
was like
Okay.
really in the weeds developer type things that we couldn't have
Okay.
really been effective at evaluating. Well, I couldn't have been
Yeah.
anyway.
They need to do this themselves.
Yes, I mean, not that there weren't tickets in there that could use some looking at, but not in, it wouldn't have been a productive use of our time to be going through that list.
And I can also
Okay.
add to that a little bit, like a lot, some of those tickets are vague because that's what the developers do. Sometimes they'll
Okay.
just write a vague ticket as a reminder, like, oh yeah, I need to do this. And everyone else looks at it and it's like, wait, how can any work get done on this? You just have three sentences in there, or it's just a title. To them, they remember what it is and they're happy.
It's like a placeholder, but then they never circle back to it. I get that.
Exactly.
So,
so before we continue with these, I have another question. There might be
Yeah.
tickets out there that are relevant that don't have a development team assigned. How do we find those?
Correct. So I started to take a stab at that, Cornelia, and I'm not sure if I'm going to how it's going to work. What I started with was, and I'm going to have to work some more on searching in Jira to figure out if I could do exactly what I want. I wanted tickets that are not closed that have something to do with RA, but they have to have a label or
Yes.
something to hang off of. Kalila in the WolfCon session about Jira, she came up with a number of tickets that were RA related that we're not done, and it was like we had the most of all the other SIGs, and I'm not sure how. So I could reach out to her and find out if she can give me a list of those tickets. Because if we have them, we can just sort out the ones that have our tags on them, and then
Yes.
that would give us the remaining. So I think those are the that was the stab I was taking at next, was to figure out those. But I
You
can
could
do that
also
between now and the next time.
you
What?
just did a lot of
Modify.
work.
Yeah.
So
You
sorry,
could
Tom.
also. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. As I say, you could also modify this one. So if you change the development team to does not equal either Vega or Valeris, and then just do a keyword search for things like request, fee fine, or check-in, check-out, it may actually grab on the majority of them for you.
No, that's not a bad idea. I think it's just going to be iterative. There's not going to be one catch-all of everything because it wasn't consistently added RA or resource access as the label. And some of them are adjacent, like sort of us. Like we may have some input, but may not be just us, which is fine. All right, so the next one here is looks like yours, Tom. Future fee fines, our favorite. Future is relative. It was future in 2021. Let's see. Allow no fee fines shall be refunded if a lost item is returned more than to be determined by a fixed date instead of a number of days. So that basically currently, what, Kone?
Sorry, can you put a link into chat into that filter? I just messed everything up here in my links.
I do not
Sorry.
have a link to the film. I mean, I can.
No,
I'm
you don't.
not sure if this what I can put this in there, but I'm not sure if it'll
Oh,
work. I can
okay.
try. I didn't create an actual filter. I just changed one element of our other filter.
Oh, okay.
I just
Thank you.
changed the Valeris one to Vega. That's all I did.
Ah, okay.
Just to get the end of the chronology here.
Oh, it does work.
Yay. I think if you're logged in, it works. If it or if it's like might be session based, so after a period of time, it might stop working. So this one is fee fines, the limitation on when the refund happens. Right now, it is defined as a number of days, and this is a request to have a fixed date, like the end of the fiscal year. Is this something that you still have on your roadmap, Tom?
We can. I'll roll it in with the other stuff because I know there's a
Phase two.
there is, and it's mainly Joseph who approached this with me, is something is similar to this is refunds in general. It has to be talked about in fee fines. So not only the automatic refund, but if the library paid, if the library collected money and they need to issue a refund in this, in the case of a check, a set time period on that. So basically, if you paid something and 6 months later, or in this case, a set due date, you come back with the book and say, "Oh, here it is. I want my refund." The library closed out its fiscal year; they can't do it, or something of that nature. So it's kind of on there. I'll make a note of this to kind of roll it in, but this is probably going to get closed and just new tickets opened up. And this is just this was marked as a reference, but.
This looks like it came from the work. I think that this parent UX prod is the work that we did with Holly right before she retired with that refund group subgroup.
Yeah, and Aaron also did something, was working on something too with a little bit of fee fine, but she also touched on item statuses too right before she left. So.
All right. I think so. It further refinement is what it needs, or is it? This one looks like it might. It's got use cases, but it's not, it doesn't have a solution. So I think this one needs more refinement, can go in further refinement. All right. Check-in. Add permission control for backdating check-ins. Is this still, do you still need special permission to do backdating? Has anyone checked this in Eureka and whether or not it still needs a separate?
I'm gonna say that this is probably still needed, because I'm pulling this out of thin air here. I'm pretty sure that the way the API works with check-in is that the date that's used is sent to it from the front end. So this is a front end only permission and not an API permission, so to speak. So I'm gonna say this is probably still work that needs to be done. And we could put a note on it, check functionality in Eureka, but I'm pretty sure that this is something that still needs to be done. And I vote for further refinement, are ready to go. Actually, probably ready to go.
Yeah, there's already a UI ticket for it.
I mean the that UI ticket is probably no longer valid because it was probably done for a copy.
Right. Most certainly. All right. So do you think this one's at ready for dev, or do you think are I mean it looks like it's got quite a bit of
I would say so. I mean, this is there's enough here that I could pick this up and take it to the devs, if they were able to do it or had the capacity to do it. I think there's enough here for a PO to pick it up to a dev team.
All right. Yay. One less to work on. All right. User app and loans, new expanded permissions. So this is permissions also. This is just more, it looks like it's more granular permissions within the user's app.
Yeah, and if I get what I want for loans, this would be negated anyway. So, not that saying that's going to happen, but this is one of the reasons why I would like to do separate application spaces for loans and fee fines. But I would say you could probably toss this in for the refinement. Was pretty good about putting a lot of detail and stuff. But just because of the age of it, it might be worthwhile to look at.
Well, and again, it's going to have to be because it's written for a copy. So, all right. 3186. Whoops. Do not allow a loan to get a changed due date to a date time when a service point is closed. Oh, so Is this still true that the change due date doesn't check the service point?
It is in Ramsons.
It is still true
It
in
is still
Ramsons? Okay.
true because yeah, I did my annual. Did we check out anything that's due now in over the like 3 weeks of winter recess? Because I finally got the people setting the calendars to actually set the calendars right. Which, took a long time. Not to set them right, but to set them far enough in advance that it actually helped us.
Yeah.
And yeah, I noticed there were like a couple of things that got assigned dates when we were closed by us, and they were all by a staff member who had, was extending someone's date. So it
Gotcha.
is still act, it's still true.
Okay.
I think part of this, I would put it under further refinement. I think part of the key to this, if you read the questions, specifically, I think it's the second one. Yeah, which service point do you actually want to check the closed hours? Because you can have multiple service points, it's very well possible that you are setting a due date time for that falls outside of the open hours for the service point you're at, but another service point is open. So either the system would have to look at all service points and determine if any service point is open, and or you would have to have a master calendar that has general hours for the library that it then references. And
Or you'd have to decide, like, is it the service point that it was checked out from? Is it the
right.
service point that is the primary service point for that location? I mean, this is not a high priority in my opinion. Again, like we had, like, it's the kind of thing that seems reasonably easy to handle with minimal user error. Like, people should just kind of avoid doing that. They should know when their library is going to be closed. And then, because if it's an unexpected closure, this doesn't help anyway, because it won't be in. So this only really stops you from accidentally choosing, like, US Thanksgiving or something. And
Yeah, I think
all
it's
of the
pretty low.
automated processes around renewals, even through an override, do pay attention to the close due date logic. Sort
Right,
of.
it's just change due date, right? That's the
Yes.
problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
there's separate, I haven't diagnosed it fully yet, but there's some separate issues around. There seems to be some goofiness, at least in our area, about it should be, when you have the loan policy saying put it to the next open due date, it seems in at least one case for us to actually be doing it the previous open due date, and so truncating the loan instead of extending it, which is not great, but also is not a huge, huge issue.
Olga?
I think it's probably a bigger issue for us because we do change due date a lot for equipment, and staff errors do happen. And I personally would rate this one quite high for fixing if we when we prioritize our issues. But
Yeah.
yeah, I guess it depends on the library. Some do don't change it a lot, some do like us.
And you're saying, Olga, I'm imagining that when you check out an item, you change the due date at that time.
In some cases, yes. In some cases, it could be later for equipment, like they check it out and then they change due dates. So it depends.
Yeah.
They have different needs.
What
Yeah,
would
it's
the
more item by item instead of, yeah.
right? Same for us.
I'm just wondering what Olga, what of these questions, like what would the logic be in your setup? Like what service point would it be referring to?
It's very specific to us, right? But for us, equipment circulate only at the campus where it's checked out, so you cannot return it at the other campus. So and the same for reserves. So it's always going to be the same, like the hours would be from the location of the item,
So
service point of the item.
is that the
So
same as
one,
a checkout service point?
yes. So it's if it's checkout at this campus, then it's always would check the hours of this campus.
So perhaps one solution for this, and it might not be a bad idea to add a comment or a note to this, because the equipment use case that Olga said makes sense, is to extend the loan policy that said to something along the lines prohibit extending the due date outside of current service points hours. That basically would translate into when you check something out, you can't modify the due date outside of the hours of the service point that's being checked out at, even if other service points are open. I think that actually might cover 90% of what people are running into. I know that might not help David a huge amount because you have multiple service points. Like as you said, like somebody could make a due back on Thanksgiving.
Right, but there's only so much logic you can put into this, right? Like you have to give it a service point to check the hours. Like I think that the simplest solution would be to be looking at the service point that it was checked out at, because you could be doing this at the point of checkout, or you could be doing this 4 years later, right? And it could have no idea, but the only information you'd really have is a service point it was at.
I mean, you have two service points that you could easily query, that service point that you're currently at, as well as the home service point for the item, which could be two different service points. So you could even make a selection box like that. It can't extend, due date can't extend without checkout service point, home service point. That I think would be easily doable. The main one that comes in, as I said, complicated, is if you're looking at all service points across the entire system, then it gets complicated. And then you also run into issues with people like us, where we have service points that are open 24/7 because their chronicle contactless pickup. So it would just blow this out of water.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, again, we don't have to solve it here. Sorry, I let that go on too long. All right. So that one's further refinement. We're going backwards in numbers. I don't know what order these are in, but maybe this one got updated more recently. So show error 3180, show error messages in the circulation rules editor when rules set is first loaded in pane. Is this something that is still a problem?
I think the correct one.
You have to save it for it to show up.
Yeah, I think the title of this is wrong. Because to me, the title says when you open up the editor, it should show you the error messages. I think this is that it's live feedback on errors.
Gotcha.
I would do this as I won't do, because if you think about when you're editing circ rules, you're deleting components of what it's going to be doing, which means an error message is going to be popping up every single time you make a change. So I would do this as it's an interesting idea, but I don't think technically, and even UI wise, I think this would cause more of a headache than anything else. Unless we change the way the circ rules work and the editor for the circ rules, in which case this could be added.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that, because the first of all, it doesn't really make sense to when you first open it. If you've been able to save it, then it doesn't have any errors. So when you first open it, it doesn't have errors. And if you were, when would you provide the error? Like, yeah, I agree. I think that it is not, like, in theory, it seems like a good idea, but I think it's more problematic.
Yeah,
because part of it is, when would you check?
Exactly. And part of it is too, is the reason why those errors come up is that the circ rules are sent to the back end for to be compiled and validated, which means that as you're changing the rules, you be constantly in a cycle of validating the rules to the back end. So you're going to increase front end to back end traffic 100-fold.
Yeah. You'd be better off just iteratively changing one or two lines at a time.
Yes.
And
yes.
Saving, like, to make sure that it validates. Yeah. Okay.
And I have a few mock-ups of different ways to do circ rules that I think would also help address that this whole issue too. But yeah, that's just.
Okay. Anyone want to speak up to save this? Or should we, can we make it RA intend to close? I'll be very excited if we have another RA intend to close. I forgot to mention after we finish the Valeris ones that, and we'll include this as well. The next phase is to send out the ones we intend to close. So we will indicate that. I'll have to figure out how to run a list of the ones that we didn't already close that we wrote intend to close. And then we'll send that list out to the SIG to make sure that nobody wants to speak up to save any of these. All right, intend to close then. Configure custom fields to be added to staff slips. Is this, have we already looked at this one? I guess we haven't. This definitely needs, this has nothing. It's just the title. So custom fields are not currently available to staff slips at all. Is that still true? I believe it is.
It is.
Okay.
It is. And it's because of the way staff slips in and this we the reason why this might look familiar is I think right there, yeah,
token. We looked at this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think further refinement is probably what this one was listed as. Yeah. Same thing.
I would do further refinement. I mean, it still gets to the me wanting to rip down the system and rebuild it, but yeah.
We can't do that with everything all at once, Tom.
Yes, we can. Every time I have a subscription to Copilot, I can rewrite Folio.
All right, 3198, add logic flow to templates for staff slips. Oh, I think this is we talked about this, I believe, didn't we?
Again, I think it was notices.
Notices, okay. So is this another? Oh, it doesn't have the one back for notices. I think these are all probably in the same boat of further refinement. Because it looks like the same idea. Oh, here it is. Is this it? Oh no, that's new tokens.
Yeah, 3199 is the next one. Which is basically what I originally wanted to do is basically all tokens are available to staff slips. It's not filtered.
Gotcha.
The only one that might be filtered out is something like password, hash, or token or something of that nature, the ones for security reasons, but other than that, everything is just thrown out there.
All right. So are these in either? These aren't either or.
No. 3198 is... Again, Darcy was thinking, actually, Darcy probably wrote this after she was talking to me because I had these conversations with her earlier on. 3198 is actually changing the templating engine from mustache to handlebars. Yes. Or is it handlebars to mustache? One of the two. It adds flow control, which is if-then. This would allow you to do different signatures at the bottom of an email or at the bottom of a slip, or if something was a specific loan type, you could have a flag that shows up at the top of the slip that says in-house use only, things of that nature.
Right. Is it a recall, right, David?
Yeah. Well, this is, that would work for now? Emails, yes.
Just sorry, like if
doing two things, yeah.
No, it's fine. Just whether or not this logic flow for staff slips and template and notices would allow to send different notices
for
recalls.
Yeah. I don't know.
This one's staff slips, not notices anyway.
Right, but so. Like, would it? Yeah, I mean, having some kind of logic flow added to notices could potentially solve that problem. But I don't remember offhand how. Recalled loans are like, I don't remember if there's any, I don't think there's any kind of marker in the system inherently, like in the loan, that would let you know this thing has been recalled. We talked about doing that way back in the day. But I think it would, otherwise then you're having to do a logic check of like, look at this loan. Now look into the request. Does it have a request on it? And that just gets
messy.
I think there is
resource intensive.
Yeah, I think there is a flag on the loans that's recalled. I'm not sure if it's calculated on like, because isn't there another issue where if a recall is canceled, the loan is still treated as if it has still been recalled?
Yeah, I think that is true. I mean that part is definitely true, and so that's why I was saying like I can't remember if the flag works particularly well, but it might exist.
Yeah, I think it works as getting it gets put on but not taken off. So, I mean, in that case, if that flag is there, this is a lot of ifs. If that flag is there, you could put a block in an email that looks at it, and you could have it or in a stat, in this case, a staff slip that says, like, this item has been recalled, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I'm all for this. I think it could, I'm not sure if it needs further refinement, possibly. I'd say more use cases to it, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it does need. I mean, it's going to need. This is sort of an umbrella. It seems like it would have to have. You'd have to build the how the logic was implemented and the examples of how it would be implemented. Okay, so that one's for the refinement. This one is also for the refinement. We had already looked at that one. To make all the fields available. Which, if this one, then you wouldn't need the one that says make custom fields. So there's sort of
Exactly,
if
exactly.
then. All right.
And if 3198, you would need 3213 because you could use 3198 and look at the service point and then, oh, this is notices though. Never
Yeah,
mind.
this is notices. I know we keep going back and forth between. I mean, they really are related. It seems like if you implement them in one, it's you would do it in both. But
Yeah.
yeah, so
That's
let's
a
make
pet
this
peeve of
one be
mine.
the last one we look at. So enable checkout notices for each service point. So this one probably needs further refinement because it's got quite a bit of. There are a lot of possible examples.
Yeah, actually, this is my supervisor, so she
I was
probably
going
got
to say,
the
like, this looks like a very specific example.
Yeah. We used to have pickup notices for every service point in Voyager. So when we moved, no, actually, no one did, which I'm not sure why people had a hissy fit about that. That never mind.
Yeah, this one looks like it needs some more. Work. So this would be to have specific notices at each defined at each service point, which would require this mustache engine, right? I mean, that would basically fix or enable
Yeah,
this to happen.
you could do this one of two ways. The easiest way and making all notices more flexible would be using handlebar. I think it's handlebars, actually said mustache. Handlebars, which allows you to use that flow control. So you could look at the service point where the notice is coming from and then change the wording based on it. The only problem is for us, we have 13 service points, so that's a very long notice. Option two is kind of cool, where you can define notice packages by checkout service point. And I think that's why that's in here. So they're two different approaches to the same solution. They're both valid, though. But
Gotcha.
yeah,
And
I
both
think for.
raise all kinds of complications that you that none of these would solve. Like if your law library wanted its email address or its information be associated with its items, but you allow its items to be paged to other locations and the checkout happens at a different library. Yeah, I get why
There
people want it. I get why people want it, but I'm glad I don't have to worry about it.
It's complicated. Yeah.
This is also too where it would be nice, even with both of these options, it would be nice to have a central store where you can store reusable blocks of text that you can insert into notices. I think that came up with National Library of Sweden. We were talking about something similar to that for something. I forget what it was. But yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap up on that one, 3213. Cornelia, I will spit these out and add them to that spreadsheet, and incorporate what you've added. I see your work over there. That looks good.
Okay, great.
Thank you for keeping up with our fast moving target here. All right. Any additional thoughts, questions before we break?
So, Susan, I want to just say that you guys are a fun fig, and I let everyone know that you guys are, all figs are fun and helpful, but we did a little staff meeting at one of our campuses, and we talked about WolfCon and stuff and how community participation was one of the top things. And we said how it's important for staff to join SIGs and stuff. And I did a shout out to you guys that I really want someone that does day-to-day circ stuff to be on the SIG. So I let everyone know that you guys are really fun. So just want
Oh, thank you
to,
so much.
I've only gone a few meetings, but I really enjoy. It's very relaxed and everything. So I just wanted to know that. And I was just going to say about getting more people to join. I think, I'm a systems librarian, is kind of part of my job, right? To be involved in the community and look at Folio every day. But I think, I don't know if it would be in people's job description or something. I don't know if people are so busy. I don't know a good way to convince them to join SIGs. I don't know if we would actually have to change job descriptions or something like that, to be included. Just kind of a thought. I think people are kind of just thinking it's a big time commitment, maybe, or, and, I tell them you can just lurk, you don't have to, and stuff, but just a thought.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. I think you're not wrong about the like I have a full-time job and I like Folio is just one piece of it and somehow I got roped into being a convener. But I appreciate the feedback on the different SIGs because we all come to this one. I don't know that a lot of us go to other ones. Some do, I know, but it's nice to have kind of comparative feedback about what it feels like to be in a SIG meeting. So thank you for that. And hopefully we will get some folks who just want to drop in. We really just want people to be understand what's happening in the community and see their role as being giving feedback and being part of the conversation. I think that's one of my biggest goals is to get folks to come and learn more about how it works, that how it's being developed is not magic, right? Like that there's a lot of labor behind it, and I have some appreciation for that and understanding of like when you write a Slack ticket or a Slack message that says, "Is it possible to get this tomorrow?" Like why that's just completely unrealistic. Or why doesn't it do this? And understanding how that development cycle works, I think is helpful for folks to understand where we're at and how they can have a role in influencing that if they spend some time. So,
I kind of
thank you.
wonder, like, what one of the and RA is really hard because most people in access services are so swamped with the desk and everything else. Like, they work a 10-hour day in an 8-hour span. But I know Folio in general wants to try to think. It was trying to think of ways of allowing for asynchronous meetings. I wonder if it would be helpful to for specifically like front end staff to say. You can't go to the meeting. Here's the recording. Watch it when you have a chance. And we provide a section on either the notes for that meeting or somewhere else where people can leave feedback. Like, oh, I noticed that this time you were talking about this. For us, this is our use case or something of that nature. But that might help with a more.
Yeah, especially as we get people from other parts of the world. So,
Exactly. Asynchronous. That's what I was thinking. More asynchronous feedback.
asynchronous. That's right. That's right. All right. Don't forget that there's a time change in the United States between now and our next meeting. So we are jumping ahead an hour. Sorry, Cornelia. This is the extent of it. Is this the 1 week when you're Okay. This is the 1 week where we're out of sync, and we will be back in sync next week. So we will see you all on Monday, hopefully. Have a good weekend.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.